All right, so like you said, I will be recording this. The Hillsteads wanted me to record it, but I'll make it available for everybody. Not using the sound system, so if you can't hear, everybody can squeeze into the center if my voice starts going out and you can't hear it. But I believe that altar working is more than just randomly putting your hands on somebody and praying for them. If you go back, I've been doing a study. I started out this year my Bible reading doing a study of the Gospels. And if you read through, especially I'm in Luke right now, and Luke is very detailed. Everything the apostles did, it was like a plan. Like they were intentional about what they were doing. And so I believe if we are intentional about what we are doing, God is going to move. And the reason why we were talking about going over working in the altars is because I believe we're getting ready for a revival. And I don't think God is going to send us people if we're not prepared to handle those people. And so this is not my original work. Some of this is, but any of you know that, anybody ever heard of Pastor Jack Cunningham, big preacher in our movement. If you ever heard any of his sermons, he's a fantastic preacher, fantastic pastor, but he wrote this. And so I've kind of modified it, kind of updated it a little bit for us. But the definition of this is altar work is instructing, assisting, and leading someone who is seeking the Holy Ghost for them to get the Holy Ghost. So that is the whole purpose of what we're talking about tonight, is instructing people on how to get the Holy Ghost. Now, that does not mean that we are putting words in their mouth and we're making them get the Holy Ghost. But if somebody has never come into a church like this before, they don't know what they're seeking. They feel something. They know something's going on. More than likely, they have felt conviction. They have sat through an awesome worship service. They've probably bawled their eyes out. And they've probably heard the term the Holy Spirit before, but they don't know what it is. And so there's nothing that's worse than somebody like that coming to an altar when we invite everybody to the altar and some well-meaning saint grabs them by the head and just starts shaking them. We've probably all seen that. If you've been in an apostolic or a Pentecostal church any length of my time, you've probably seen stuff like that happen. I believe it's important that we do things the right way. I think our God is a God of order. Amen? I don't think God operates in chaos. Like I said, I have seen people come up, grab people by the head, start shaking them, screaming in their ear. I've seen, some of y'all are laughing, y'all are gonna be laughing even more because y'all have probably experienced it. I've seen, it's like a mob, like a group of people just surrounding people and just swaying them back and forth. I've seen people shaking people. I don't know. I can't find anywhere in the Bible where shaking somebody makes them get the Holy Ghost faster. I'm not sure where we got that from. I have literally seen, personally witnessed, somebody screaming in one ear, let go, while in the other ear, somebody is screaming, hold on. Hold on to what? Let go of what? I don't know. Hold on. Let go. I've seen people just start screaming Jesus. Y'all probably all witnessed these things. And then what undoubtedly happened is they don't receive the Holy Ghost that time. And then everybody goes, well, I guess they just didn't pray hard enough. Maybe they just didn't know what they were seeking. They knew they were feeling something, but they didn't know. And so that's what we are going to talk about today. First off is we live in different times now, okay? It doesn't matter if you agree what's going on in the world. It doesn't matter if you like the direction things are headed. We are just in a different time now. We don't operate in church the same way we did 50 years ago. We have a lot of people coming into our churches now that have suffered forms and all forms of abuse, traumatic events. And I will say this, you must be very careful when you touch people nowadays, okay? You don't know what people have gone through in their life. Them coming to the altar and you grabbing them by the head and shaking them can set them off or bring back something that's from their childhood, or be very careful with kids. In fact, we do this type of training. We've done it before at youth camp and at kids camp about praying for kids. Be very careful because a lot of our kids are not coming from church homes. They're coming from broken homes. They have suffered abuse. So we must be very aware of this. Now, we're not saying this to scare people off and saying, Don't laying on hands is biblical. You can't get around that. Brother Roberts had already touched on that. I believe in laying on hands. I believe in anointing on oil, anointing with oil, but I believe in doing things the right way. And lastly, somebody is not going to receive what they don't understand. If they don't understand what they're seeking in the first place, they're not going to know. They're not going to know what's going on. And so that's our job. In fact, I have seen more people receive the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues with a 5-minute conversation beforehand than I have praying and shaking somebody for an hour. I have seen people in this church, witness people in this church. They come to the altar, they're crying. You say, hey, look, this is what the Holy Ghost is. We're going to pray. This is what God, just a quick, this is what it is. And it's like you start praying for them, boom, they start speaking in tongues. I have seen so much more of that than I have the just shaking somebody back and forth and then going, well, I guess they didn't pray hard enough. I guess they didn't have enough faith. So we're going to go through some basics. First off, altar working is not about you. I will repeat that. Altar working is not about you. We don't keep score of how many people we've prayed through. God gets all the glory. Immediate red flag for me is when somebody starts bragging about how many people they've prayed through. You haven't prayed anybody through. You have talked to somebody. You may have given them a Bible study. You may have instructed them, but you did not make anyone get the Holy Ghost. That was a decision between them and God. It only comes from God. So we have to get that out of the way, is that when we come and we're praying for somebody, we are focused on them. If I need prayer, if I need something, I don't need to be praying for them. I need to go find somebody to pray for me. When I go and pray with somebody that's new to this church, my focus has to be 100% on what they need and what they are going through. Like I said, we don't need to be praying for people if we have not prepared ourselves first. I believe this wholeheartedly. I believe that's why we have pre-service prayer. I believe that's why we are submitted in areas of our life. When we get to church, we shouldn't have to be putting our life back together. We should have our life together so that we can help pray for the people that need it up here. If you are going through something or you need prayer, then that's fine, but you're not the one that needs to be praying for people that day. When you're praying for somebody, the focus has to be on them. Okay? Familiar voices are helpful. It's good for family members and friends to pray with people they know. If you bring somebody to church or they came because you invited them, you're the best person to pray for them because more than likely they trust you the most. And in fact, I always make it a point that if I go pray for a guest, if they are a guest of someone, I usually have that person come with me. For example, when Marvis comes with Bella and Braden, or when Roxanne's roommate Bridget has come, when I've gone and prayed for Bridget, I've taken Roxanne with me because she's familiar with Roxanne. She knows her, and so we kind of pray together. There's nothing wrong with that because you want them to feel comfortable. So familiar voices are helpful. Now, I believe, too, women praying for women, men praying for men are preferable, but it's not, you can pray for members of the opposite sex. Be careful in how you do that. I am cautious when praying for women, especially women I do not know, okay? We've had to go over this with youth camp. Now, just because I'm going over this stuff does not mean any of this has happened in the church, so don't anybody get worried. Don't start trying to figure out why we're doing this. We're just going through the whole materials. But don't be rubbing their back and hugging up on them and stuff like that. Y'all are laughing, but we've had to go over that. We had to pull some young men aside at youth camp, and we're like, happy that you're wanting to pray for the women and the young ladies, but you're not going to pray for them that way. Okay? Get a little too close. Feels like you had an ulterior motive with that prayer. There's nothing wrong with asking someone first, do you mind if I pray for you? Because when you ask that question, it opens up a perfect opportunity of, is there anything you would like me to pray for? Do you have a special need? Do you need healing? Do you have something going on? Do you know, ask somebody, what do you need prayer for? I'm, you know, I'm Anthony. I would love to pray with you if you don't mind. Is there something we can pray about? But, and I understand this. In the South, we are more touchy-feely with people, okay? In the South, everybody gets hugged. We shake hands with everybody. That's just, if you're an introverted person, you don't like that. It's just what happens in the South, okay? It's not that way everywhere else. But even though that is kind of the culture in the South, still be very cautious when touching people, okay? There is nothing wrong with just asking someone first, say, hey, do I mind praying with you? For example, here in the church all the time, you see the guys hugging, you know, shake hands, bump shoulders, doing all that kind of stuff. You don't see the men going around hugging women in the church, okay? Don't put yourself in situations that could be misconstrued. Let's just leave it at that. Don't put yourself in a situation that somebody could look at and go, what's really going on there? So nothing wrong with asking first to pray with people. Don't be afraid to have a conversation with people seeking the Holy Spirit. And there may even be times where you have to stop them from praying to talk to them. While this may seem counterproductive, what we want to do is make sure they know first, what is the Holy Ghost? What are they actually seeking? Why are they seeking it? Do they understand repentance? You'd be surprised at how many people who have probably gone to church all their life, and while they may not have ever gone to an apostolic or Pentecostal church, they don't fully understand repentance. Repentance to them is coming up and shaking the preacher's hands, and he's saying, you know, ask God to forgive you of your sins, shake his hand, and that's repentance. They don't understand that repentance is, not only am I asking forgiveness of my sins, but repentance is I'm turning away from my previous lifestyle. A lot of people get hung up on that when they're seeking the Holy Ghost because they have not truly repented, and it's not because they don't want to. They just never had anybody tell them what repentance actually is. So that's something that we need to pay attention to. This is just something I've noticed working with youth, is that a lot of times when I'm talking to people new in the church, I will actually say Holy Spirit instead of Holy Ghost. That's just semantics. You can, whether you're more comfortable with, but there have been several conversations I've had with young people where I've talked to them about the Holy Ghost and they're looking at me all, what is the Holy Ghost? I'm like, the Holy Spirit. And they go, oh yeah, I know what the Holy Spirit is. So if you're ever talking to somebody about the Holy Ghost and they look at you like, I don't know what you're talking about, just say the Holy Spirit, because no matter what denominational church you go to, they talk about the Holy Spirit. They may not fully understand like we do what the Holy Spirit is, but that is just something I have come across with people that are not really familiar with Pentecostal apostolic churches. Also, don't be afraid to ask someone their name and use their name. Introduce yourself before you start praying to them. This is a big one here. Make sure that there is only one person giving directions. Okay? Like I said earlier, when one person is telling them to do something in one ear and somebody else is telling them to do the opposite thing in another ear, and the person that's praying, seeking the Holy Ghost, is all confused because they don't know who to listen to. Okay? And I will say this, please, please, please don't interrupt someone that is having a conversation in the altar about the Holy Ghost. Okay? The pastor doesn't have to go talk to everybody. The leaders don't have to go talk to everybody. If you are saved and you understand what the Holy Ghost is and you can explain it to somebody else, I don't have to go interject myself and say, well, I'm the preacher today. I'm the one that needs to talk to them. No, if they're explaining to it, they're praying for them, let them pray for them. Pastor doesn't have to pray for everybody. I don't have to pray for everybody. The ministers in this church don't have to pray for anybody, okay? You can do it. So don't go up interrupting someone thinking that you can do it better than they can. I will also say with this, if you are committed and submitted to God, living a Christ-centered life, you are more than qualified to pray for somebody, okay? With that being said, you will find sometimes, I have seen this again, is that sometimes people want the pastor to come pray for them. I see this a lot from people coming from traditional denominational churches. Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Catholic churches, they're just used to that leadership where the pastor is the spiritual leader of the church and he's the only one that can really pray for people. So if you are praying for somebody and they act like they don't want you to pray for them and they ask for the pastor, don't get offended, okay? Don't get offended by that. That's just some ways that people are brought up. They just think that the pastor has to pray for them. Let the pastor pray for them, talk about them. It's no reflection on you if somebody doesn't want you praying for them. Okay. I also believe this is why it's good to have godly ladies involved in prayer as well. I like Brother Edwards. I like Brother Busby being up here, but it would also be nice to have some ladies up here, some apostolic Holy Ghost-filled ladies to pray for other ladies, because some women coming in don't feel comfortable with men praying for them. Again, don't get offended over that. If I go to pray for a lady or I ask a lady if she minds I pray for her and she said, I would rather just have a woman pray for me, I'm not going to get offended. I'm going to go find a Holy Ghost-filled woman and let her pray for her. Somebody getting the Holy Ghost is more important than my getting offended because somebody didn't want me to pray for them or somebody didn't think I was qualified, whatever it is. The main thing is I want to see people get saved. If I didn't pray for them and they get the Holy Ghost, I'm going to rejoice. It doesn't matter to me. Somebody gets baptized and I wasn't the one to baptize them, I'm going to celebrate. Because guess what? We're not keeping score about this. Okay? So don't be offended to that. Be sensitive to the needs, the feelings of people seeking the Holy Ghost. Like I said, sometimes they just don't understand. So keep things simple. Okay? Somebody that has never come into the church, they've heard a convicting message about repentance and the Holy Spirit, and they come up here seeking the Holy Ghost, speaking to them in the King James English is going to confuse them. Speaking or quoting a deep theological passage from one of David Bernard's books, Brother Bernard's books, is going to confuse them. Keep it simple when you're talking to them, okay? There is plenty of time for deep doctrinal theological discipleship after the fact. When I'm up here praying for somebody to get the Holy Ghost or I'm having a conversation with somebody about being baptized, I keep things simple. I want people to understand, okay? You don't have to launch into a 15-minute sermon to show them how deep your theology is. Just explain repentance to them. Explain the Holy Spirit to them and explain baptism in Jesus' name. Even our kids in here can explain that. In fact, our kids sometimes probably can explain it better than us because they keep it simple. We tend to complicate things. Just speaking, because sometimes as a preacher, we want to impress somebody. We got to show somebody how much we know. That's not always the best thing. Keep it simple when you're praying for people. Lastly, be positive when you are praying for people, especially people seeking the Holy Ghost. This is not a time to call people out. This is not a time to dispense life advice and tell them how bad they've messed up their life. The whole reason they're in the altar is because they know they've messed their life up. They don't need us reminding them. They're seeking the Holy Spirit. They're seeking something that will change their life. That's what we need to keep the focus on. We're not dispensing life advice. We're not telling them they should have done this or they should have done that. There's time for counseling after the fact. We're talking about in the altar. We are praying people through to the Holy Ghost. Everything else past that can be done later. All right, so these are some common problems or some common things that come up. And again, this is from Pastor Jack Cunningham. And so I wanted to go over these real quick as well. It's common in our service today that we encounter people that who have never prayed before or have never really prayed. I have blown away at people my age that don't know basic Bible stories just because they've never been to church in their life. We take for granted that kids grew up going to Sunday school. Even if they never attended a church like ours, at least they attended a Baptist church or a Methodist church or a charismatic church, and they learned some Bible things. But there are so many people that don't even know how to pray. So that is one thing that we need to focus on is sometimes you're going to have to instruct people on how to pray. This is how you talk to God. These are the things that you can say. This is how you repent. This is how you ask for forgiveness. But be encouraging. Don't talk down to people and try to make them feel stupid because they don't know about Noah's Ark. Okay? This may be the first church service they've ever attended. So don't talk down to people. Always be encouraging them. Many people, especially chronic seekers, people who just keep seeking the Holy Ghost and can't seem to get it, a lot of times they may have preconceived notions. Maybe they've heard things before. Maybe they've heard some wrong theology. Maybe they come from a church that didn't teach that the Holy Spirit was evidenced by speaking in tongues. So be prepared to talk to people about that. Sometimes people get into the rut of saying the same thing over and over, okay? Like I've said, I have seen people come up And without any explanation, they tell them, just keep telling Jesus you love him. Just keep telling Jesus. And for 30 minutes, they're saying, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Like a stuck record, like the needle stuck on a phonograph or a record player for some of you that don't know what a phonograph is. But encourage people to talk to Jesus like having a conversation. That is the best way I have found. People that are coming in that are brand new to the church, that don't understand anything, I always tell them, just start talking to Jesus like you're talking to me. You know how you repent? You know how you ask forgiveness for Jesus? Just start talking to him. You don't have to talk to me. I can walk away. You don't have to confess your sins to me. Just start talking to Jesus like he was standing there right in front of you. That's the easiest way. Just have a conversation with Jesus. Some people are naturally quiet people. Some people are naturally boisterous. So pay attention to body language. If you notice somebody is kind of shy and reserved, don't get them up here in front of everybody and make them start dancing around telling them they need to shout. Don't embarrass them. Okay? People can get the Holy Ghost anywhere in this church. People can get the Holy Ghost in their home. People can get the Holy Ghost at work. They don't have to be right here in the spotlight in front of everybody to get it. If you're praying for somebody back there, you don't have to bring them up here to get the Holy Ghost. They can be sitting down in a chair. They can be kneeling on the floor. They can be standing up. So just kind of, you know, make people comfortable. Don't force somebody into something that they're not comfortable with. And if you pay attention to it, you can usually tell when somebody's putting out resistance, when somebody feels uncomfortable. If you try to bring them to the front and they're resistant, don't grab their elbow and just drag them up here, okay? The Holy Ghost is back there just as much as it is up here. Always start with the basics. If somebody has been seeking the Holy Ghost for a while, make sure they understand repentance first. Make sure they understand what repentance is. Make sure they understand about changing their life. Remember to keep it simple. So some of the do's and don'ts of altar work. We've already talked about this a little bit, but I want to touch on these. And again, I have not really seen a problem with this in our church, but it's just good to go over this type of stuff. Don't pound or slap people on the back. Some of y'all laughing because I've seen it. I've seen somebody come up, in Jesus' name, right across the back. I tell you what, that will kill the mood in an altar more than anything. And if you don't believe it, I have seen it. People honestly convicted, crying, seeking the Holy Ghost. And somebody do something like that in like an instant, you could tell something changed and they lost all focus. That happens. You can absolutely kill the mood. Okay, that's not what we're here for. So don't be slapping people on the back. Don't be shaking people. Don't be overcome with emotions when you are working with someone seeking the Holy Ghost. Stay focused. You are not there to get a blessing. You are there to pray for them. And in doing so, don't forget about praying for them. If you are seeking something or you need prayer or you find yourself being overwhelmed, that's okay, but move away from them. Let me give you an example of this. Nothing is going to be worse than you're praying for somebody to speak the Holy Ghost and then you start windmilling and slap them in the face because you got slain in the spirit, okay? If you need something from God, go get something from God and have somebody pray for you. But when you are praying for someone seeking the Holy Ghost, help them out. Your focus has to be on them, which again goes back to that's why we have to be prepared spiritually before we even get up here. We have to prepare ourselves before church even starts on Sunday because when people come up here, our focus is on them. I should have already fixed myself. I should have already gotten myself aligned with God so that when people are coming in, I can focus on them. Like I said, if I need something from God that day, I'm not going helping people seek the Holy Ghost. I'm going to go find somebody to pray for me and say, hey, I need a touch today. I need prayer today. Don't work the altars with bad breath or body odor. Nothing will be worse than getting in somebody's face with bad breath. Some of y'all are laughing. Some of y'all may have had that done to you. Nothing wrong with carrying mints. Nothing wrong with eating some mints before you go up there and pray for somebody. Don't spit in people's faces. Spray it and pray it or whatever. Don't be getting up there yelling and that far from somebody's face and spitting all over them, okay? That's not necessary. You can talk to somebody without yelling in their face, okay? We'll try to leave it at that. Don't yell in people's ears. I know sometimes our altar services can get loud, and if you are having trouble talking to someone, there's nothing wrong with pulling them to side and having that conversation about repentance, about the Holy Ghost, or whatever. But don't just be standing up there screaming in their ears and they have no idea what you're saying. Okay? That's counterproductive. Don't mess up their hair or clothing. Okay? That goes back to don't get up there and just start shaking their head. Again, we'll talk about it. Laying on hands is a biblical action, but there is also no biblical mandate requiring the physical laying of on hands for people to receive the Holy Ghost. I have seen people get the Holy Ghost and never have a hand laid on them. Literally having a conversation with them, telling them what to do, they've raised their hands, started speaking in tongues. Nobody ever touched them. So it's not necessary, okay? I do believe in laying on hands, but don't think that you have to lay hands on them in order for them to get the Holy Ghost. Again, there's nothing special about any of us in this room. We cannot make somebody speak in tongues. We cannot make someone get the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter how many hands we put on them. Okay? 1 Timothy 5:22 says, "Don't be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share the sins of others. Keep yourself pure." Thought here is not so much in cautioning the physical action of laying on hands, but to urge care in bestowing the responsibility of spiritual leadership and how it's done. In biblical times, you go out and research this, the head was a sign of authority. When they would anoint people, they would anoint them from their head and it would run down. And I've always been taught this in church, and I've heard this from many esteemed elders, is that when you lay your hands on top of something, that's a sign of authority, okay? That's not something to be taken lightly. There's nothing worse. I'll go ahead and give you some of my pet peeves. There's nothing worse I hate than seeing somebody doing drive-bys on everybody's head. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. People lined up praying, there's a guy just coming by, and he's just palming heads. What are you doing? There's nothing wrong with laying your hands on somebody, but that should be, something that's taken very serious, okay? To me, altar working is serious. It's not a game where it's how many people can I pray for? I'm not keeping score. When I'm praying for somebody, I mean it. I expect what I'm praying for to happen. If we're praying for the Holy Ghost, I expect them to get the Holy Ghost. If we're praying for healing, I expect them to be healed. So to me, altar working is serious. It's not something we just do out of habit and we're just doing this and doing this so we can say we prayed for a bunch of people. I think we should take altar working very serious. I think you should take it very serious when somebody asks you to pray for them because they are putting their trust in you. They're saying, I trust your walk with God enough and I trust that you can get in touch with God. I want you to pray for me. That should be a very... I don't want to say prideful, but that should make us feel good that somebody trusts me enough to pray for them. So we should take that very, very seriously. Again, me personally, I don't touch people's heads a lot because I believe that's a serious sign of spiritual authority and a spiritual connection. A lot of times I like to lay my hands on people's shoulders. It's a lot more comfortable for people, okay? I'm not saying you can't lay hands on people's heads. I'm saying we need to take that stuff serious. Again, that goes back to I need to make sure my life is in order and that I have prepared myself before I go around and start praying for everybody else. I need to make sure I'm in alignment with God. Don't put words in people's mouths, okay? Don't teach somebody to speak in tongues. And you would think that would be obvious, but I have heard people saying, la, 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 they're telling people what to do. Like, don't tell people what to do. It's very important that we are sensitive to them, we are empathetic to them, because we got people coming into this church with very messed up lives, okay? I believe the revival we're getting ready to experience, there's gonna be people coming in here that don't look like us, they don't act like us, they probably don't have the same social views, the same culture views that we have. They may be totally opposite of us on everything. That stuff goes out the window, okay? I don't care what anybody is outside of this church. When they come in here, I am praying for them like they are a brother or a sister. I am praying for them to get the Holy Ghost. Okay? Whatever disagreements we would have outside of this church stays outside of this church. That's not important. The most important thing is they get a touch from God. Remember that we live in a day and age where accusations alone are enough to cause serious issues. So again, just don't place yourself in situations. Okay? Don't take members of the opposite sex off in a dark corner to pray for them. Okay? You would think we wouldn't have to say that in this day and age. You'd think that would be common sense. We have had plenty of preachers get in trouble over things. And a lot of it was innocent. They meant nothing by it, but they just didn't see how that could be taken away. So just don't put yourself in situations that could look compromising. Okay? Encourage people. Okay? I think it is very important that we encourage people when they are praying through to the Holy Ghost. After they repent, encourage them. Hey, that was great. You have repented. Guess what? You've got a brand new life now. You've been forgiven of your sins. You repented. Now we're on to the next step. Guess what? Now we're going to pray that you receive the Holy Ghost. Guess what? Now we're going to get you baptized in Jesus' name. So be encouraging to people, okay? Don't leave them hanging. Pray with them and pray out loud with them, okay? When they hear you pray, or even when they hear you speak in tongues, that is encouraging to them. So like I said, don't just leave somebody hanging off by themselves. You see somebody seeking the Holy Ghost, go pray with them. And then real quick, I want to go through these quick little things here. So when I'm praying for somebody, I typically follow somebody seeking the Holy Ghost. I know that's what they're here for. I know we've talked to them. We had that conversation. I like to just start with repentance. Let's make sure they understand repentance. And the easiest way I have found in a quick, short amount of time to explain repentance is that we're going to ask God to forgive you of your sins. Okay, first and foremost, we have to ask for forgiveness, because asking for forgiveness means we are admitting that we did something wrong. Okay? And I always tell them, guess what? I was right where you were at. Guess what? One time at an altar, I was standing right where you were, and I was repenting of my sins. And I was asking forgiveness for all the things that I've done. And I always tell them, but repentance is a step further. Not only are we going to ask forgiveness of our sins, but we're going to make a commitment right now to God that when we walk out of this place, we're turning away from that lifestyle. 180 degrees. That right there, I know, that is a very quick, simplistic view of repentance, but that's enough to get somebody headed in the right direction, okay? Like I said, Bible studies come after that, okay? When somebody gets the Holy Ghost, they're baptized in Jesus' name, we set them up with a Bible study. We can go in depth and explain a lot of things. But right now, we need them to ask for forgiveness. We need them to understand repentance. Next, I always tell them, we got to have faith. That's the step. You got to believe that God is actually going to fill you. If you don't believe that God's going to do it, your prayers are not going to be answered. If we're up here praying for healing, we've got to pray with faith that we believe it's actually going to happen. So that's what I always tell them. I always say, look, after we repented in that, we're going to pray for the Holy Ghost. Here's what it is. God's Spirit coming to live inside of you. I explained speaking in tongues. I said, but I want you 100% to believe that's going to happen to you. And if they do that, I promise you they're going to get the Holy Ghost. I have seen so many people get the Holy Ghost, like I said, off of a 5-minute conversation in an altar, because it's like it just clicked. And I believe that when somebody approaches the altar with faith like that, I believe God speaks to them. God can reveal more to them in a moment than we can in a lifetime. If somebody comes in and they are truly hungry, they are truly seeking the Holy Ghost, our little conversation right there can spark something in their life, and God will take over. So again, keep things simple with people. I encourage people to praise. Praise the Lord. Worship the Lord. Go ahead and thank Him for filling you with the Holy Ghost, or for Him that He's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Keep their mind on that. When it starts coming to speaking in tongues, I always explain speaking in tongues. Explain to them that it's an unknown language. You can go right back to Acts. All through the book of Acts. Pick a scripture. There's plenty of scriptures to support speaking in tongues. You don't have to pick all of them. Just pick one of them. Explain to them, this is a language that we don't understand. This is us relinquishing control. Here's what it feels like. You're going to feel something. Okay? Don't let it come by a surprise. Let them know you're going to feel something. When you start feeling that, open your mouth. Don't fight it. You know, like I said, be encouraging to people. Once they receive the Holy Ghost, celebrate with that person. Once they start speaking in tongues and they receive the Holy Ghost, don't just walk off and leave them. Don't go off looking for the next one to pray through. Stick there with them. Start celebrating with them. Hey, there's nothing wrong with introducing them to some people. Hey, guess what? You know, sister whoever, she just came in. Guess what? She just got the Holy Ghost. Now she's going to go get baptized. You know, celebrate with people. After someone has received the Holy Ghost in the altar, that is the perfect time to approach them about baptism. Don't say, well, you got the Holy Ghost this Sunday. We'll talk about baptism next Sunday. Once they have started speaking in tongues, once they have come to, once that is over with, hey, guess what? We can go ahead and get you baptized. You've received the Holy Ghost. You've repented of your sins. Guess what? We got baptismal robes. We can get you baptized right now. You can have a conversation with baptism right there. I guarantee you, they're more likely to get baptized right then than they are 2 or 3 weeks later. Go ahead and talk with them about that. So, closing up with this, some of our responsibilities of working in the altar is making sure that somebody, especially somebody that is new to the church, when they come to the altar, they don't come up here by themselves. There's nothing worse than an altar call, and I like how we do here. Usually we just invite everybody to the front, but there's nothing worse than somebody, first time in this church, come to the altar and they are literally the only one up here. That is awkward, okay? That's awkward to be in. If you see somebody come up to the altar, come up, stand beside them. You start praying too. Make sure nobody comes up here alone. Following up, this comes afterwards, but there is nothing wrong with following up with them personally. Now, our pastor follows up with all of our guests here, and we do have a follow-up program or follow-up. Anyway, we have a follow-up program here. But there's nothing wrong with you following up that person later in the week and encouraging them and talking to them. Don't let them leave here and not have contact with anybody in this church. Get their phone number, send them a text, send them an email, invite them back. Hey, that's a perfect time. Invite them back. Hey, guess what? You got the Holy Ghost. You got baptized today. Guess what? You're going to sit with me next Sunday when you show up. I'm going to save you a seat. When you get here next Sunday, come find me. You're going to sit with me next Sunday. We want people coming back. We want people connected. So, I think we got about 15 minutes. I know Brother Roberts wants to, we're going to have some focused prayer, but real quick, before he comes up and do that, what I would like us to do is to have just a few minutes of focused prayer about people coming in to receive the Holy Ghost. I believe that is coming, okay? I firmly believe 2024 is a year of revival, and I'm not just saying that because it's the new year and we have to pump everybody up. I firmly believe, I have felt it in my spirit that 2024 is going to be a different year here at Abundant Life Church. Okay, what we need to pray here tonight is that when those people come in, we are ready. Okay, I don't want to spend half of 2024 trying to straighten myself out. I want to hit the ground running in 2024 so that when sinners start walking through that door, when prodigals start walking through that door, we're ready for them. Anybody agree with me? So I want to take a few minutes, and right now, let's just, before Brother Roberts comes up here and we have focused prayer for these needs, you can stand, you can kneel, you can do whatever you want, but I want to take a few minutes and let's focus on us.